It's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Going to start things off with new Caldwell County Lady Tiger basketball head coach David Brown in the studio with us. And David, good morning. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, so I guess the big question, how did you end up at Caldwell County?
It's really kind of ironic. One of those I really wasn't looking, but, you know people have made connections over the years, and had some people say, hey, you know, this position's open, you might want to apply. And of course, you know, I've known some folks from over here, and so I did, and of course went through the interview process, and here we are.
Yeah. Well, what is your initial thought of the Lady Tigers?
We have some talent. We have some young folks that are talented, but we have a good core group returning, and looks like there's going to be some prospects for us, some good opportunities this season. Looking from what we just worked on this past week, we are going to have some opportunities for really to grow, and I think maybe surprise some folks. Looking at the schedule, there are some good favorable matchups for us, and along the way, you hope you can steal a couple maybe you weren't expected to win.
Yeah. Well, what kind of goals do you have for the program overall?
Overall, you know, we're big about setting, you know, culture and having the right culture, and you know, of course, building off of what those before have established, you know, previously. You know, what we look at it is that they're a person first, a student second, an athlete third, and yes, while we want to be successful on the court, you know, you're also thinking about where are they going to be 5 years from now. 10 years after graduation, 15 years after graduation. So, you know, you're also in the business of building people.
Yeah. Now, you've been around high school sports for a while. What's kind of your background as a coach?
As a coach, you know, we've been fortunate to be, you know, everything from an assistant to a head coach, you know, JV coach and just assistant coach, then transition to head coach. And being able to, you know, not only just the X's and O's, but learning, you know, people, you know, how you manage your time, how you manage scheduling. Of course, spent a few years ago as wearing the stripes, so that, yeah, that is beneficial. What's unique about that is you have both perspectives, mm-hmm, and seeing, you know, both sides of the game. So you have the coaching mindset where you're seeing just blue in this case, whereas officials you have to see both colors. But you learn to watch the game and, you know, have a very analytical approach to the game. So that has helped me be a better coach.
Yeah. Does it help you understand some of the calls a little bit, too, when the referees are making maybe a call you don't quite agree with?
Well, you know what they're looking for, or what they're looking, what they should be looking for, and what they're seeing from the – and, of course, it's all about angles and where you're on the court. You know, us on court level, we have one view. If you're setting up the top of the gym, you're going to have a different view and see things differently. So you have to keep that in mind. Now the beautiful thing is now two things that's a benefit to being a coach as opposed to a referee – I only have to see one team.
Yeah.
And also, half my games now are home games.
Yeah. Well, what kind of attracted you to the Caldwell County job when it came open?
Well, it's a very well-supported school. Has great community support. They have great administration. Everything that I've, you know, found through just talking to people and researching, it's a great place to teach, and it's a great place to be a part of the Tiger Nation and Tiger family. So that really made the transition and decision easy, because when you know those type of things and know that people come here, they don't just leave for any reason, that it's a good place to teach and be invested.
But you kind of get a late start on the summer. The job kind of came open late. Mm-hmm. What are you doing to try to play catch up a little bit?
Well, with that, we're trying to maximize whatever gym time we can get. Of course, dead period starts this Saturday, so that was one of the reasons why we wanted to get in the gym as much as we could this week. You know, the players get to see me, I get to know them, and we can start on just introducing each other, but also expectations, to start working on, here's some of the things we want to look at building toward the season. Whether it was, you know, it has took this week to be an opportunity to see where they are, you know, what were some of their strengths and weaknesses as much as we could. So it gives me a game plan over a dead period of how to prepare.
Now, you guys didn't get to play any games through the summer. Mm-hmm. Is that a big deal? Some coaches want to play 30 or 40 games over the summer, and some coaches would rather just be in the gym working on things.
It's it's kind of a two-edged sword, so to speak. Yeah. Yes, you want to get some games in to kind of see where you are and keep that competition edge, but also you need to maximize your time to really work on and refining things just for your team. So there's that sweet spot where there's a good balance of both. And it is good to go against live competition because, as you know, if you've been involved in any sport, you know, you're seeing your own teammates for an extended period of time. It you really have to be creative to keep things from going a little bit stale.
Now, you coached at Callaway County last year. Mm-hmm. You guys actually saw Caldwell County, so you had to game plan a little bit, so you're at least kind of familiar with the team coming back.
Yes, and that was a good thing. Got to see some film on the players from last year, so there was some familiarity, and you know, a few of them were like, hey, you know, this one, there's some really good potential here, and mm-hmm. there's some like, okay, what are we going to do to stop this player, you know, yeah. the mindset last year. So that was the game planning would, you know, give you an opportunity to kind of learn a little bit about them, and so it wasn't just completely walking in blind this year.
Well, and some really young kids had to play a lot of minutes for Caldwell County last season, which is not always the best thing, but it's a good thing for you because now they've got some experience.
Yes, and even if they're coming in as freshmen and sophomores this year, they won't tend to have as much of that deer in the headlight look, you know, where they've come in and where sometimes, you know, especially back in the some people say the dark ages when I played, yeah. you know, freshmen didn't always play as much right. as they do now. And so when you were put in the game, you were a little shell-shocked, but now with the number of games they play and the summer ball and such, game experience, they have more opportunities for better game experience.
Now, how familiar are you with the second region as a whole?
Well, of course, having grown up in the second region, yeah. played in the second region, refereed, coached in the second region, we're pretty good grasp on the region and you know the district that we're in with Madisonville and Central and Dawson. That's been a competitive district. You know, right now everybody is going to be chasing Madisonville this year, but it's going to be a good one. Of course, our old traditional rivalries with the fifth district teams. We're looking forward to those, and those have always been great matchups yeah. over the years.
Well, and a school that you were at previously, Heritage Christian Academy, they're about to come in full bore to the second region this year, so second region's going to grow just a little bit.
They are, and it's good to see you know, see them come in, and hopefully they'll be able to get some success and grow their program and their school as well.
Well, looking ahead to this season, at what point do you guys sit down and talk about what you want to accomplish? Obviously, the second region's difficult because you've got Henderson County. They're really mm-hmm. good and some other big schools. But the All-A Classic is always there that kind of gives the smaller schools mm-hmm. a chance.
Right, and think the All-A should be a goal for us every year. And, you know, talking to the coaches and kind of going to approach up the players, you know, our goal should be district and to make a region tournament every yeah. year. Now, does that mean we'll accomplish, you know, you're going to win it every year? No, not necessarily, but those are some goals. But definitely the All-A is one that we want to put a target on. And you know, the goals, you know, we want to do is, yes, we want to see certain numbers in the win column, but also where are they at the start of the season and are we seeing growth as we trend toward the end of the season? And that's the big thing is, you know, developing these young ladies as not only people and students but players as well.
Now, again, looking ahead to this next season, I understand we have a throwback date down at Butler Gym. What do you know about that? And are you kind of looking forward to having a game at the old gym?
I am, and actually Butler Gym has a good memory for me. My sophomore year of high school is where I got my first varsity start, and we were playing Dawson Springs in the old Druthers Holiday Classic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And not only did I get my first varsity start, but I hit a game-winning basket for South Hopkins back in that year when we beat Dawson. And so Butler Gym, I'm pretty familiar with that gym, and it's going to be good to go back, and that throwback game is going to be good. I believe we're scheduled to play Crittenden County that night.
I think that's right, and the guys are playing Trigg County, is that right?
That's my understanding.
I was trying to run that through my head, but it's always good to get back down there, and there were always great crowds at that gym, so that's a big part of that.
It is, and you know, and it's something that for those who hang on to the memories and such, and even went there and played there themselves, it is a nice head nod and you know, a show of respect back to that gym and that building yeah. and the people who went on before.
We're talking this morning with Lady Tiger basketball head coach David Brown. And David, when it comes to coaching basketball, do you have a preferred style you would like to play? Or is it just, hey, you have to look at what you've got and go from there?
Well, I like to play pressure defense, and I like to push the pace when we can. Now, of course, your personnel dictates that a little bit more in high school. You know, if you're in college, you can kind of recruit the players right. that you want. But in high school, so, you know, we will adjust our style to fit the player's skill set. But I've already seen we do have some athletes on our team and players who can move with some pretty good speed. And big thing is, you know, we're going to hang a lot on defense. You know, don't get me wrong, I like to see the ball go through the net,
yeah.
but it's also something good about stopping an opponent from what they want to do, what they do best. But I would prefer to play a little bit more up-tempo, but that depends on, you know, personnel.
Yeah. I always kind of fall back to what former Tiger coach Robin Scott used to say, that he was big on defense, but it's a lot easier to play defense when you score 80 points a game.
It does help. You know, when you're lighting up the scoreboard, defense becomes a little easier. The goal is that we have our young ladies prepared and developed where they can win in any style, whether it's up and down or it's that grind them out. We have to make 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 passes on any offensive set, but we want to get where we can play either way.
Yeah. Well, the goal is to have one more point at the end of the night, right?
Yes, have one more point at the end of the night and be ahead when the final horn goes off.
Now, where are you at as far as putting your staff together for this coming season?
Well, we already have one on staff from previous season, Coach Gay. I've talked to another person 2 days ago that potentially going to join the staff, so we're working on getting that completed and finalizing them. We've talked, so I'm giving them a few days, a little time to think it over and see where they are. So I'm waiting to hear back on that response. Okay. And hopefully we'll get that secured pretty quick. I feel pretty good about that prospect.
Again, looking ahead to the coming season, you mentioned you are a former referee. Well, we have at least one new rule coming in this year with the free throws. No more one in the bonus, and it's going to be 5 fouls each quarter. Does that really have an impact on the game? From a coaching standpoint or a referee standpoint, is that – a big change?
I think the intent of the rule was to speed the game up. Of course, you know, the resetting the fouls every quarter to go to 5. So that's, you know, what the benefit is, you won't get into that one-on-one bonus, say, 4 minutes into the third quarter, and you're in shooting free throws the rest of the game.
Right.
So that could be the benefit. It may change strategy a little, but, you know, hopefully we are not going to find ourselves in too many positions where we're going to have to employ the fouling strategy. You know, typically on a rule change like that, they've experimented it somewhere else in another state, and they wouldn't implement if they didn't see some positive results.
Well, and another thing that I think is eventually coming, and I'm not sure how quickly, but a shot clock. Where do you kind of stand on that?
I would be in favor of it.
Yeah.
You know, because it does, you know, it keeps the game moving. But it does also, strategy really comes more important, so you have to really plan out how you want to do it. But also, you know, sometimes, especially in any level of basketball, sometimes it takes a very, very disciplined team to hold a ball for 3 and 4 minutes.
Right.
And that's very difficult to do. And sometimes not the most exciting thing to watch.
Well, it just feels like the National Federation will mandate that at some point. It seems like we've got, 17 or 18 states that are doing it already. Mm. So it just kind of feels like within a couple of years we're all going to get there.
I think so. And plus, you know, with the college game and people who have opportunities to go to the next level, it's just another step that the high schools could do to prepare and have people used to playing already at that style.
Well, all this kind of leads into my next question, which is always the tough one. What are your thoughts right now on the state of high school basketball? And if you could make one change to make it better, what would it be?
Well, you know, it seems like the big issue is that is numbers sometimes, that you run into two schools, you know, having just enough people to field a team, and you know, which can make it very difficult for practice. You know, that's been a big change, you know, state of it. You know, then the other thing is with the number of summer league and AAU games that these players play, they are playing literally more than a full schedule during the summer. I think one of the things that we can change is maybe regulating some of that a little bit more, because, you know, they only have so many nights in their legs anyway.
Right.
And you know, sometimes what you do is these kids get physically worn down over the course of the year. And I think, you know, as much as we as coaches want to be in the gym with them, they do have to have that rest. Just like we have to have rest as adults, yeah. Those players, even though we say, well, they're young, they can handle it, they still need time to recruit their bodies as well.
Well, like I was saying, there's some coaches that will literally play more games over the summer than you play during the regular season. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of basketball sometimes. But the argument the other way is, well, if one team's going to play 30 or 40 games over the summer. We need to do that, too, to keep up. So
it's really one of those you find yourself in a situation trying to keep up with the Joneses,
yeah,
for lack of a better term. And sometimes that pressure and that pressure to win is you if one team's doing it and there's any kind of success at all, well, that's what everybody else tends to follow. And sometimes is a short term game, but how is it long term? You know, and when you look at things like that, it's what is the sustainability of it?
Now we've got the dead period coming up. Once we clear out of that, what can you guys work on to get ready for the season after that?
Well, one of the opportunities we're going to do is have open gym dates for players to get some shots up, work on ball handling, work on some defensive positioning so we can start really implementing what I want to do defensively. Of course, I love playing man-to-man, but also there's a couple of other defenses I like to throw in there. One of them is that you don't see as much of the 1-3-1 anymore. Mm-hmm. And that can be very effective if you have the right personnel to run it and everybody understands their roles. Sometimes I like to mix defenses up,
yeah,
and keep other. Of course, it depends on opponent and matchups and such. But to be able to get those in and establish so players understand rotations and responsibilities and communication, that's where the next part is we're going to kind of focus on after a dead period is taking time to teach the how and the why of these.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming in and talking to us this morning. Congratulations on getting the job. Anything else you want to get out this morning?
Well, I just very thankful for the opportunity. I want to thank the high school and the administration. Thankful for to have the players that we're going to have playing for us this year. Just want to say, hey, come out and continue to do what Caldwell County always has, support Tiger Athletics and Lady Tiger Basketball. And, not only do I want you to come out and support Lady Tiger Basketball, but all of our athletic programs. And, I want to be not only the coach of Lady Tigers, but I want to be the biggest cheerleader for our other athletic programs.
Well, good luck to you, and basketball season will be here before you know it.
We're looking forward to it, and thank you, and looking forward to seeing you guys this season.
Appreciate you coming in again.
Thank you.
That's David Brown, New Caldwell County girls basketball head coach. Stay with us. Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group will be in the studio with us in just a few minutes. We'll continue on the Sideline Report after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Life is busy. We get it. That's why at First Southern National Bank, we are launching a new experience for customers. Our drive-thrus are being replaced with full-access banking lanes that utilize new technology to give you greater convenience. You can now do almost everything you could do inside the bank or at the ATM, all from your car. Tellers are available via video to assist you if needed, and bank services now have extended hours. Learn more at fsnb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Ready to roll this haymaking season? H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville, Kentucky is ready, and they're offering 0% financing or cash back on select New Holland tractors, telehandlers, and hay equipment during their Ready to Roll sales event going on now. Being ready for tomorrow starts today, so hurry into H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville, Kentucky and save. Offer ends June 30th. For commercial use only, customer participation subject to credit qualification and CNH Industrial Capital America LLC approval. Standard terms, conditions, and other restrictions apply. Down payment may be required.
Today's society is dependent on electricity. The Princeton Electric Plant Board has what you demand for electricity anywhere, anytime, at the required level of quality. They work to ensure our community's power system has the resources in place for reliability today and into the future. Their work and commitment has reduced the frequency and duration of power outages with a reliability rate of 99.9%. Princeton Electric Plant Board, bringing our customers safe and reliable energy.
If you've ever shopped for a diamond, either in a store or online, you've probably heard of the four C's. The four C's of diamond quality: color, clarity, cut, and carat weight. At Humes Jewelers, we're offering you the fifth C. The fifth C is choice. Your choice of a natural mine diamond, a natural Canadian diamond from our Polar Bear collection, some of the finest cut diamonds in the entire world, the new lab-grown diamonds, a bigger diamond for your budget, and antique and vintage diamonds, which gives you a pre-loved piece of jewelry to love again. Stop by Humes Jewelers. We'll show you each of these diamonds, and you can make your own choice. Once you pick the diamond, you can pick your mounting, and we'll put it together for you. No matter what your budget, you'll find a beautiful quality diamond at Humes Jewelers. That's Humes Jewelers on the Boulevard in Hopkinsville. And we invite you every Thursday night at 6 o'clock to join us live on Facebook or YouTube or our live shopping show where you will learn, laugh, and shop.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Again, we thank new Lady Tiger basketball head coach David Brown for dropping by the studios this morning. We've got Ed Marlowe with us coming up next. Stay with us. Back after this, and we'll talk to Ed about a lot of different things in the big sports world, so stick around. This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY.
The Persnickety Pig is open. Friendly, courteous staff, fabulous selections, and a style as unique as you. As unique as their name. The Persnickety Pig, Broadbent Square, Katy's. Follow on social media.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, an overnight low of 62 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Might see a shower or a thunder shower in western Kentucky by this afternoon. It's going to be partly sunny with a high near 77. Another chance for rainfall after 4 o'clock. Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies, low around 60. Friday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms arrives after the lunch hour, mostly sunny, high of 84. Then Friday night, mostly clear skies, low around 64. Not a bad way to close out the work week there. But back to right now, an overnight low of 62 by this afternoon, partly sunny at 77.
At Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky, you're treated like family because to them, family is everything. Johnson's has the reputation of helping customers with brands you can count on, like GE Appliances. Shop their selection of GE Appliances with premium finishes and features that make household chores easier, giving you time to do what matters. Bring home the long-lasting quality of GE Appliances today. Trust Johnson's for furniture, bedding, and appliances because you're like family, and family is everything.
At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricios in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit Tricios.com. That's Tricios.com.
We believe you want to make wise financial decisions and live generously. At First Southern National Bank, we are making that even easier. Banking should be convenient for you and your schedule. With our new ITMs, a video teller is available to assist you with almost everything you could do inside a bank or at an ATM. You don't have to get out of your car, and the ITMs will offer extended hours, making it easier to deposit checks, withdraw cash, and more. Learn more about ITMs at fsnb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. We appreciate you tuning in this Thursday morning. As promised, joining us in the studio right now, Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group. You've heard him read the news right here on WPKY before, and certainly a veteran to this show as well. Ed, welcome back, and thanks for coming in this morning. And you know, really, I just wanted to get you on the show today so that you could kind of have your moment in the sun with the Cincinnati Reds in first place in the NL Central.
I'm actually wearing Cincinnati Reds socks right now. They don't match my shirt at all. I'm wearing like a teal polo, and I am wearing Cincinnati Reds thick socks at that. Yeah. They're almost winter socks, but you got to keep the streak going somehow. You know, it's a superstition thing, and I'm not. You know what? I'm not going to gloat. I'm not. I don't like the St. Louis Cardinals in the slightest. Not even a little bit. But I can appreciate them. I always tell everybody I hate the New York Yankees more. But the St. Louis Cardinals are like the second most hated team in my life.
Well, those are the two teams with the most World Series championships.
I know. And
Yankees, Cardinals.
Yep. Yeah. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's just the fact that St. Louis Cardinals never let fans never let it go. They never, well, we're one of the oldest teams in the world. Well, I understand that. You're the third oldest team, actually. Yeah. St. Louis Cardinals are the third oldest team in Major League Baseball. I love games at Busch, and really, to be fair, I do appreciate the passion. So it's just a fun fan hate thing. One of my favorite baseball players of all time is actually Bob Gibson. Yeah, I have a Bob Gibson autograph, and it's one of my most prized possessions because, you know, he was such a prolific pitcher, such a terrific talent. But I say all these things mostly in chagrin. I don't like hate the Cardinals. Neil Bradley, one of my really good friends, he and I have a great podcast together about once every 3 weeks, and we talk a lot of St. Louis Cardinals baseball, and I love going to Busch. I love a game at Busch Stadium. I don't care. It could be two little league teams playing at Busch. It's such a great atmosphere. But I've over the years, and the amount of success the Cardinals have had and the amount of success that the Cincinnati Reds have not had, you got to think about it. Look at this winning streak right now. 11 games.
Yeah.
It's the most since 1957. I was not even close to being alive at that point. And 10 games, it had been, I believe, since 2012. And 2012 was the last time the Reds were super hot, got to the playoffs, and lost to the even-year Giants. So it's just, you know, here we are, and I'm happy to see it. It's fun to see.
Well, I'm not sure any team in the NL Central likes another team in the NL Central.
Not at all.
Big rivalries, and, you know, Cardinals, Cubs, Brewers, Pirates, Reds.
The Pirates are fun this year.
Yeah.
You know?
But as a Cardinals fan, I obviously don't like the Reds, but I can appreciate, like, the big red machine. I can appreciate history, you know, those kind of things. So I hate for any team, even a team that I don't like, to be bad for a long time, because I think it's bad for the game, it's bad for the fans, for the same teams to win every time and the same teams to be at the bottom.
Right.
So from that aspect, I kind of like that the Reds are at least having a little success. It's kind of like the Kentucky-Louisville thing. I know Kentucky fans hate Louisville. Louisville fans hate Kentucky.
Right.
But if both aren't good,
it's not fun.
The rivalry is not anything at all.
The state is miserable.
Yeah.
As in, like, the entire state of Kentucky. Yeah. And you can even, I think it would even be fair to throw in a few other teams. If Morehead State's not doing well in basketball, if Western's not doing well in basketball, if Murray State's not doing well in basketball, then the Commonwealth, which we know is a basketball state, sorry, Indiana, but Kentucky is the real basketball state, you have this situation where you have just a lot of miserable fans. Remember the year that Morehead State and Kenneth Faried dumped Louisville in the NCAA tournament? Kentucky, like the state of Kentucky, from Pikeville to Paducah, you know, went nuts because of, like, how amazing that was. And Kenneth Faried, of course, ended up having a terrific NBA career and, you know, and is trying to keep that going. So it you know, I agree with you. You want the other team to not do well, but if Kentucky and Louisville are having a great season, it makes for great basketball in the Commonwealth.
But if one team has only won 5 games and the other team has won 25...
That's not fun either.
Yeah. Don't you want both teams to be, like, ranked in the top 5 and it be the game of the week and, you know, national TV is there and all the eyes are on that game and it's big for seeding down the road? And mm-hmm. I mean, why do you want to... Oh, they're 2-30. Wow, we're going to beat them. I mean,
it's not fun.
Yeah,
it's not enjoyable, and it does make the game better. And going back to the National League Central, I mean, the Reds are one of the hottest teams in baseball right now, and the San Francisco Giants have won 10 straight after last night. So, I mean, you know, that's the one thing. It's kind of hard to tell. Tampa's been really good. Baltimore is really, really good. So you take a look at kind of who the hot hands are right now in Major League Baseball and the National League and the American League, and you're kind of just like, you know, the Reds won 11 straight. We're now, I think, 5 games above 500, and or 4 game, but we're in first place. And it's, think about it. The Reds lost 100 games last year. We were miserable, and I say we because, you know, I'm in the dugout. You know, I'm batting third for the Cincinnati Reds. But, you know, Votto just came back. You know, he's playing well, coming back. The youth is there. Abbott has been a terrific call up from a pitching perspective. You know, I mean, we thought Hunter Green and Graham Ashcraft were going to be the two guys. Ashcraft kind of stumbling right now, and it's been Abbott who's been sensational coming out of his call up. So, I mean, tons of great rookies. I like what we're seeing out of second year Spencer Steer, and then Jonathan India, man, is tearing it up. Man, I just didn't, you know, you expected him to play well, but he's playing really well after kind of experiencing a sophomore slump where he was injured last year. So, you know, after being Rookie of the Year. So it is fun to watch. It's invigorating. I did June 10th. I was in Busch Stadium for Reds Cards, and the Reds won, and it was awesome to see Elo De La Cruz in person. He's so fast. It's unbelievable how fast he is. He ripped around from first all the way to home on the late double, waved off his third base coach to score. And you just, when you see hustle plays like that, it's fun to watch. And I say these things, and the Cardinals are back to winning again. So you never know. Yeah, I think everybody in the National League Central could be a buyer. potentially at the All-Star game, because if you're only 6 or 7 games out, you can't just quit on the season, especially when if you're the Cardinals with that kind of talent, with Goldschmidt, Arenado, you know, you can't just say, well, we're going to pack it in and call it a day.
Cardinals have kind of been in one of those deals where when they score runs, you know, the other team scores more. When they get good pitching.
Pitching's not been good.
Yeah, they can't get enough. I mean, so it's just one of those deals where it's not working out. But I do think they have talent. I think they maybe could work their way back into a playoff spot. I don't know if they could win the NL Central, but, I mean, a long way to go at this point.
So. We know how much baseball's left, and we still got 60, 65, 70 games left. You still have an All-Star game to play. And you still have a trade deadline. You also still have the wild card, which anything can happen. And that's been the beautiful thing about baseball. I know purists not necessarily enjoying the wild card, not necessarily enjoying the pitch clock, not necessarily enjoying, you know, baseball games are shorter. Games are a little bit more exciting. There's a little bit more, you know, there's bigger plays at the plate, stealing bases. We are back to stealing bases.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the missing shift, but batting averages have increased because of that. Marginally, so we'll see how it all shakes out. But tons of baseball left to play, and again, I'm not gonna poo-poo on the Cardinals. I won't do it. I've got too many friends that are Cardinals fans, and the minute that I say something like, "Well, it's good to see the Cardinals lose," they're going a 12-game winning streak, and Dylan Carlson will hit, you know, 700 during that stretch. So I don't want to do that. I won't jinx it. Let's enjoy a great season.
Great thing about baseball is you just never know, and that kind of leads me into my next question. We talked a lot of expansion possibilities last week on the show. In your estimation, how soon till we get the Nashville Stars in Major League Baseball?
I don't know, but I would love to see it. I love Nashville. I love going to a baseball game in St. Louis. I love going to college basketball games in Evansville. You know, when the Ohio Valley Conference moved its men's and women's basketball championships to Evansville, I was a big fan of that, moving it out of Nashville because there's so much going on in Nashville that it kind of just got overlooked. But you put another major league sport in Nashville, and the fact that the Titans are building a new stadium and you might have the Super Bowl in Nashville, I mean, to guys like you and I, that's a dream. Nashville's only an hour and 10 minutes down the road. I live in Murray. I can be in Nashville in 90 minutes if I want to be. And you know they'll put the Nashville Stars somewhere out in Brentwood or something like that. I mean, I know they have some plans drawn up. They're not putting them there. They've got some plans, you know, there's indications for it to be along the river, and that makes total sense. But I just... Man, it almost leaves you speechless. Just to think about, you've got Major League Soccer, NFL, the Predators are good. Yeah. When Nashville almost lost the Predators, they were that close to just filing bankruptcy and calling it a day and moving that somewhere else. Now Predators hockey is powerful. It kind of permeates the city. There's especially the run to the Stanley Cup. I mean, people didn't expect that to happen, and I think that is cemented hockey into downtown Nashville. If you were to add Major League Baseball into that mix as well, and you've got the Memphis Grizzlies right down the road, to get NBA and all other major league sports in Tennessee, an hour from our house, Todd, it makes me like foam at the mouth. It's super exciting.
Well, you mentioned the new stadium, and not just a Super Bowl has been promised,
right?
But, I mean, they're going big time. WrestleMania
big time
has been promised to Nashville if it builds a new stadium. So.
Well, and look, I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I absolutely can appreciate WrestleMania and the crowd that it would draw. That would draw 175,000 people. I mean, I know that's a large estimation, but it would draw 100,000 people for sure. If Taylor Swift can draw 100,000 in Nashville, WrestleMania can draw 100,000 in Nashville.
I think everything I've read concerning expansion has Nashville pretty much number one on the list. Now, I'm not sure how soon we get there. I think we've still have to figure out some things with the Rays. Apparently, the A's are going to Las Vegas, so that kind of solves an issue there.
There's an interesting twist there, though, and I was reading something about this. I want to thank Blake Sandlin, good friend of mine, WPSD. He and I have been friends for quite some time, and something he talked to me about earlier last week. One of the interesting things about the Oakland move, which, by the way, is, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, it's sickening. I hope Billy Bean and company hears me say this here in little Princeton, Kentucky, but I'm furious that Oakland is moving. I mean, you tanked this season on purpose. It's blatantly obvious. you're accidentally have 18 wins. You've tried to be 0-72 at this point, and just to prove, oh, and so I loved that they did the reverse. They did the reverse black, the reverse. I forgot what they called it, but it was the reverse blackout, basically,
yeah,
where
boycott
they were just
or
the reverse boycott. Yes, where they were like, you know what, we'll just sell out the stadium for a team that's you know. Got 20% of its victories in the last week, and you know, and so I digress, but it's super frustrating. But what I was saying there's a small percentage chance that they may not be able to get the funding. They're looking for $1 billion.
Yeah,
they need $1 billion in revenue right out of the gate to build that stadium in Vegas. And I understand the whole if you build it, they will come. Scenario. I
my
get
that.
My
understanding was it was only like a 25,000 seat stadium.
I mean, the fact that it's going to cost $1 billion is because of land in Vegas and just taking up that much space on the strip. I mean, I love the concept of Vegas. I'm not knocking that. And someday I, knock on wood, hope I get to go. But, you know, my wife's been, but I've never been. But expansion or not, it does seem like Oakland's leaving. So that does take care of one scenario, and Nashville being the other would be just a dream come true. But I don't know. I think some of that's going to be in question, whether Oakland can come up with the cash that it needs to make that move happen.
I still think we're 4 or 5 years away
probably.
From any kind of expansion. And if it happened, what was the last expansion was 97 or 98, so you're talking 30 years for a pro sports league. That's a long time to go without adding anybody.
It is, and that was, correct me if I'm wrong here, I was in middle school when that happened.
Wow.
That was Colorado and the Marlins, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's when they moved Montreal.
To Washington.
That's right. Yeah. Montreal moved to Washington, but that wasn't an expansion. That was just a move.
Right.
Okay. I'm just trying to think through the timeline, because I do remember an Expos version of Randy Johnson. Yeah. I do remember an Expos version of Vladimir Guerrero, whose son now is an ace for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Do you remember the Montreal Expos playing part of their home schedule in San Juan, Puerto Rico?
I don't. That's going to be a little bit before my memory banks were starting to formulate for sports.
Yeah,
but
they played a big chunk of home games because there were just a lot of issues in Montreal. People keep bringing up the Expos, and I love the Expos.
I love their logo.
But I can't see Major League Baseball going back to Montreal unless a new ownership group was to show up and just throw a whole lot of money at them, and we know how that goes.
Well, and here's the crazy thing. Tampa Bay is winning despite its concerns for everything about attendance. I mean,
okay, so 98 was Tampa and Arizona.
Tampa and Arizona. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I was trying to somebody just let you know.
Gary Goodacre with the
thank you, Gary. Thank you, Gary. A fount of knowledge if there ever was one. But, you know, I could not remember, because I have the first inaugural teams. Yeah. I have baseball cards of, like, the whole first, you know, the Topps. Here's the team release. Yeah. I have the Topps release for the Colorado Rockies and the Florida Marlins. And the two names that I always remember are Dante Bichette, whose son now, Bo Bichette, plays an ace for the Toronto Blue Jays once again. It's crazy. The Blue Jays have all the family. They have Kevin Biggio. They got Dante's son, Bo.
Yeah.
And then they have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And I'm sure there's another family member there. But it's all former major leaguers. Of course, Craig Biggio is just such a star for the Houston Astros. But I digress once again. But going back to Tampa, you would talk about them moving. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, they almost seemed like a sure bet to be leaving Tampa Bay. If they win a World... Todd, seriously, answer this question. If they win a World Series this year, which they are completely capable of doing, thanks to Randy Arozarena and company, former St. Louis Cardinal.
Yeah.
Yep, just wanted to go ahead and rub that in a little bit. They can win a World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, they're well on pace to win 65% of their games. They have a good pitching staff, strong outfield, really, really, really good offense in the middle of the lineup. If you win a World Series, can you legitimately move them?
Well, Tampa has actually offered them some different things, so I think they're close to having their stadium situation figured out. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So who's the other team that moves? If Oakland moves... Well, no, you're looking at expansion.
Yeah.
Oakland's moving.
Right.
So who would be the other expansion team then?
Well,
if Tampa moved.
I think you have a lot of cities, Portland, Charlotte, Salt Lake City is mounting a late charge to try to get a team. So
we're going to get, speaking of expansion, and I know the NBA draft is tonight, we're going to get the Seattle Supersonics back.
Yeah.
It's coming. They may change the name, but Seattle's getting an NBA team back.
Why wouldn't you use the name, though?
I would.
Does the Thunder still own the name or something?
I don't think they do, and that wasn't even expansion either. That was a move.
Yeah.
Because Seattle was like, nah, we're bailing. You know, because I still remember, and this doesn't age me at all, but Kevin Durant was originally a Supersonic when he was drafted.
Yeah.
And then played 1 year for the Supersonics. I wish I had his rookie card. I have several rookie cards, but Kevin Durant's is not one of them. That's cool. And if you have a Durant jersey with the Supersonics, that's even cooler. But I would love it. And here's the thing. If Seattle's going to be the new expansion team, who's the other expansion team? I want Louisville more than anything to be the other NBA expansion team. But everybody keeps talking about Vegas this and Vegas that. I'd love for it to be Louisville. But anyway, we're on baseball. But talking about expansion, and you mentioned Seattle. Yeah, that's a hotbed right now. Look at how well the Kraken did this year in the NHL. The Mariners are strong again. You know, I mean, when you got Julio Rodriguez and company, I mean, you know, Kelenic, you got really good pitching staff, a former, you know, half the former Reds play for the Seattle Mariners. So, you know, I'd love to see Seattle get back in that expansion game.
We're talking this morning with Ed Marlowe from the Edge Media Group. Need to get to a quick timeout, but we'll come back and have more after this. Stay with us on the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Mulligan's Bar and Restaurant, located at the Heritage Inn, Marion, Kentucky. Open Wednesday through Sunday, beginning at 4 p.m. with $10 nightly specials. Follow them on Facebook.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, an overnight low of 62 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Might see a pop-up shower or two. By this afternoon, it's going to be partly sunny, high of 77. A 20% chance of showers returns. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, low around 60. And then on Friday, another solid chance for showers and storms in the mid to late afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, high of 84 degrees. But back to right now, an overnight low of 62 by this afternoon, partly sunny and 77.
Hi, I'm Rachel Chandler with Farmers Bank. Did you know your money can make more money when you level up to an interest-bearing checking account? Grow your balance at Farmers Bank with our unique Plus checking account featuring a 2.5% annual percentage yield on balances up to $15,000. Unique Plus is a win-win local banking option. Call or visit us today and let our expert bankers show you how to get the most out of your deposits. Farmers Bank. Live unique. Bank unique. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
You may have heard the kids chanting about favorite freebies at Holiday World and Splash and Safari.
Free soft drinks, free parking, free sunscreen!
But there are plenty of favorite firsts and onlys to shout about, too. Like soaring on America's only launched wing coaster,
Thunderbird!
The world's longest water coaster,
Mammoth!
In fact, we're the water coaster capital of
the world!
For summer fun worth shouting about, find your family's favorites with tickets at holidayworld.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Ed Marlowe from the Edge Media Group is with us this morning, and we were talking baseball expansion and other things, but there is one piece of Murray State news I want to bring up, and Ed, I know you're a big Murray State guy. The Ohio Valley Conference released its 75th anniversary football team this week. And one of the players on that was one Al Giordano.
You know, I actually had that. I'm glad you mentioned that. I actually had that as good news for WKDZ. I honestly wish I'd known Coach G.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to read about it and to understand the history and the legacy that Coach G left behind. I was telling you earlier this week, I thought for sure that he played some defense for Murray State. But
well, they missed him as an offensive lineman and a linebacker.
So he did play safety. Yeah.
So he was
hot
on the
diggity,
field.
Dang it. I knew it. I tried to – I knew it. I had gone back through some old – well, when I first started covering Murray State Athletics 10 years ago, and now I only get a chance to dabble in it and just pay attention to the some of the headlines that come through. And, of course, surf Twitter for commits and stuff like that. I knew that Al had put up some tape, and I don't know if they still had that tape, but I had seen some old photos of Coach G in some defensive stances.
Yeah.
And so that's why. But it also, I'm glad you told me about offensive line, because in reading a lot about old school football, it wasn't uncommon at that level of college football to play both sides. So it doesn't surprise me at all that he was an All-American who could play offensive linemen, which offensive linemen look much different back in the mid-50s than they do now. It's a different pedigree. You know, it's almost a different athletic position. You have to be 6'6", 310 pounds, and be able to run, you know, a 4.6 40. So you've got to be able – it's just a different thing now.
Well,
he was a legend.
Just a different kind of athlete. It's a guy that years later was named the top athlete at his high school from the past 25 years.
Right.
That was back in the day. And I can't remember how many letters he won while a high school athlete, but played in the Brooklyn Dodgers organization, you know, explored, almost got to the big leagues in baseball, and then after that, went to Murray State, played football, was an All-American twice there, and how awesome is it that they have a 75th anniversary team, and you get remembered on that?
Oh, I think it's absolutely fascinating, and I was actually looking at that team just yesterday, and yeah, I tell you somebody that probably, Stuart Childress,
yeah,
I thought had a chance to make that, but
Tony Romo's on there, and Stewart beat him, so
yeah.
There you go.
Well, that's what I was fixing to say, and I want to bring that up from a local perspective. I mean, you take a look at the number of local quarterbacks that have been successful for Murray State football over the years. Stuart Childress comes at the top of the list, Casey Brockman being the other one. Brockman made the list along with Katie Humphreys, which both of them, Brockman was 10 yards away from finishing for 10,000 yards in his career, and Katie Humphreys did finish with 10,000 yards in his career. So I get it. You know, when you can finish with 10,000 yards passing in college football, you're going to be on a top 70, you know, a 75th team. But I mean, Childress is right there as one of the better quarterbacks in Murray State history.
Yeah.
And Michael Proctor being one of the others. Those are kind of the four. You think of the four or five right now for Murray State football. Just in the last 25 years, you got to go with Proctor, you know, Childress, Katie Humphreys, and Casey Brockman. And it's kind of cool to think about it from that perspective. Two of those guys are super local. So
was Proctor on the anniversary team?
I think so. Yeah, Proctor's on the anniversary team. Which, I mean, the Beamer years, especially for Murray State football, were almost as special as the Houston Nutt years. And again, I'm aging myself here, but Houston Nutt, when he was winning, I was 10. And when Beamer was winning, I was 2. So, you know, being born in 1985, I unfortunately don't have those strong memories yet of Murray State football. But going back and doing some of the research and taking a look at things, it's awesome to see that someone, I mean, because you got to think, Coach G played for Murray State in the mid-50s.
Yeah.
You know, they were able to take it that far back, and he was remembered as one of the greatest at that point, really on both sides of the football, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, the conference goes back to what, 1948?
Yes, the conference goes back to 1948, and of course, Murray State, having recently moved to the Missouri Valley Football Conference, you know, I mean, certainly leaving a large legacy behind when it comes to the Ohio Valley Conference. Murray State was one of the first, you know, one of the three teams to formulate the conference. They were the founding father. Murray State, Western, and Eastern Kentucky, I believe, were the three. Okay, I'm a little hazy
on
that.
Wasn't Louisville in there too, and Evansville?
I don't think Louisville was in the original Ohio Valley Conference. I'd have to go back and double check. I do know that Louisville football was in the middle of its creation process in the late 30s and early 40s. Because some of the biggest beatdowns in history have come from Murray State against Louisville.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Murray State football beat Louisville football 105-0 in 1938, and there's a lot of interesting history there. That's apparently where the Murray State alma mater first, that football game was like the first time the Murray State alma mater was sang in the stands.
Wow.
Was at that game. So the only reason I know that is because I had to do some history on it, some research on it, wrote an article about it, but. You know, that was 100 years ago. But Louisville football is much different since then. So, football is just crazy anyway. I mean, teams that weren't that good in the mid-30s and early 40s, 60 years later, you know, kind of figured some things out. So, Louisville's just fine.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY, Princeton, Kentucky. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. Ed Marlowe is in the studio with us, but, Ed, we're out of time.
Well, let's just keep talking.
Well, we probably could. We might not have our jobs very long, but, you know, we could do that.
Bill Booth will get over it. We'll be fine. Just run past the ID. We can just have a hot dog show. But no, just anytime, man. I'd love to come on, and we can just pontificate about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, I had more notes, so you have to come back pretty quick, and we'll jump back on some of these topics we were talking about.
I tell you what, I'll just show up on Monday.
Yeah.
And we'll pre-record.
Well, Tess will be here Monday, but you can talk to her.
Just give Tess the notes, and we'll just do a four-part series.
You just keep going.
Yeah,
all right.
Sounds good, man.
All right, thanks, Ed. I appreciate you coming over this morning.
Anytime.
That's Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group. Appreciate him coming in this morning. Also, thanks to new Caldwell County Lady Tiger basketball head coach David Brown for coming in the studio and talking with us this morning. That's going to wrap us up for this edition of the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Again, thanks for joining us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Radio.